coaches.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs with the Refresh Radio broadcast, and this is brought to you by Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney Parkway. And we would love to have you come and be a part of our First Fruits service this coming Sunday morning. And then tomorrow night, Saturday night, we have on January 3rd a prayer meeting, 7 o'clock in our sanctuary. If you would love to come and be a part of that, we would love to have you come and touch heaven with us. So we're now that the holidays are in the rearview mirror, we will be getting back into up to speed on everything and in the right gear. And so we will have service Sunday school at 9:30, Sunday morning worship at 10:30, Sunday night service at 6:30, and then Wednesday at 11, our vintage service Wednesday night, our boys and girls ministry at 6:30 as well. Runs from 6:30 to 7:45. So today we are going to be wrapping up our study on what life is like inside the kingdom of God. And as we do, I want to say thank you to Jits Concrete for their financial support of our Refresh Radio program. If you need any help with block or concrete work, you could call Greg at 536-5804, 536-5804. They've been in Brevard County for quite some time, and they've been a blessing to us at our church. And so call them. They may be able to help you out with your needs. Today we want to take you in the Word of God to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to remind you a little bit about what we have gone through with our study of what life is like inside the kingdom. The kingdom of God was prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. You were designed by God and created to be a part of His kingdom. But we need to recognize in this fallen world that the kingdom of God is worth more than anything else, and we need to lay hold of it. We need to take care of it. And we need to allow Jesus to work the kingdom, not just in our church life, but throughout our whole nature, throughout our whole being. If we are living in the kingdom of God, we are people who are very concerned with doing the will of God, that the will of God is more important than our will. It's thy will, not my will, be done. Heirs are not people who just tell other people the commands, but they actually practice them. They are not just people who practice but don't instruct, but people who live in the kingdom practice and teach what God has in mind, what God wants done. Heirs are people, they are not small, they are not insignificant, they are not living in obscurity, but they are being transformed from smallness into being a great blessing. And people who live in the kingdom of God are people who are fruitful. They are productive. You should have some area in your life that God is using to bring supernatural fruit. Heirs are people who, or people who live inside the kingdom of God, will be persecuted for righteousness. In this day and time, we're seeing a lot more animosity towards the kingdom of God and His way of doing things But people inside the kingdom should not think it strange. People inside the kingdom are not without hardship in their life, but those problems will not abide for very long. There is a reward. Kingdom sacrifice will be rewarded. You can read about that in Luke chapter 18. The kingdom of heaven, God has given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and he intends what takes place on earth and heaven to be the same manifestation. And then on yesterday's broadcast, if you were on vacation, slept in, missed the program, the nature of the kingdom is different than the nature of the world. It's not a consumerism mindset. It's a servant mindset. And it is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 4, let's begin looking at verse number 18. Now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness? And so there are two elements here that take place in the kingdom of God. And one of them is the word of God. You say, well, wait a minute. It just said that the word of God is not, is the kingdom of God is not in word, but it is in power. But if you turn over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, you will see, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So you and I, first of all, we need to be people of the word. The word of God is essential to those of us in the kingdom. A lot of times people are so arrogant in their own selves to think that they know everything there is to know about the word of God. If I can be very vulnerable and very honest with you here today, when I read the scriptures and I see the way that the Pharisees were in opposition to Jesus because they were so confident in their take on the scriptures, that when I read about that mindset, it causes me to be merciful with those that I don't see eye to eye with in some elements of theology. Now, I believe that the word of God is very, very clear, that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the only way to the Father, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Those are some key elements. Those are non-negotiables. I'm not going to get to heaven because I'm a good person. I'm going to get to heaven because Jesus shed his blood for the forgiveness of my sins, and I said yes to the offer of my lifetime, in that he said, I will forgive your sins and I will change your nature. I will give you the keys to the kingdom. I will live in you and I will be your Savior and your Lord. That is a remarkable offer. I know that there were lots of cars for sale and everything was for sale over the last, and everybody tried to get you that it was the deal of a lifetime. You couldn't pass it up. But I'm telling you, all of that stuff is going to decay. It's going to become archaic. It's going to be torn. It's going to be damaged. Whatever. Eventually, it's going to have no value whatsoever. But the offer that Jesus made to us in the Word of God, it is going to only increase in value. Every time that the Word of God is planted, if we will allow our hearts to be good soil, then it is going to produce a bountiful harvest. It's going to produce 30, 60, or 100-fold. And it just depends on what the condition of our heart is, whether we're going to be led astray by the cares and the dissipations of this life, whether we're going to allow hardship to choke out the word, whether we're going to allow the enemy to come and steal the word. Do you realize that it said that when the word of God was sown and it fell upon the path, that immediately the birds of the air came and stole that word away. The devil would be intent on trying to steal the word that you hear in church on Sunday morning from your heart before you even get home on Sunday afternoon. And he would try and, you know, he would try and steal the word that you hear on this radio program or on these other preachers that share on the radio. And if you hear something, he'll call you, try and compel you to forget that word. And here's the reason why. It is the word of God that disarms the lies of the enemy. When we recognize and value God's word as truth, the truth always overpowers a lie. Now, it doesn't mean that you and I, everybody's going to believe us, but I don't have to live in condemnation of the truth when I'm living in truth. If somebody tells a lie about me, they're the ones that has to live with that burden, not me. It could do horrible things to my reputation. It could do horrible things to your reputation. And it's awfully hard to defense against a lie unless you have eyewitnesses and corroborating testimony and, you know, you have photographic evidence and all of that sort of stuff. They can make life challenging for you whenever there's deception. But the truth is always the truth. I tell people it'd be a horrible thing to have committed a murder and not been arrested for it. And all these years, everywhere you go, you would be looking over your shoulder saying, is today the day that somebody sells me out? Is today the day that they find out what I did? And actually what you end up doing is you live a lie. Satan came to Eve and tried to convince her that what God said was not what God said. And then she said, no, this is what he said. And then Satan's next tactic was to discredit God's motive. And he said, well, the reason he said that is because he's just territorial. He doesn't want you partaking of his nature. And nothing could be further of the truth. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, the thing it was that disarmed the enemy, that sent him away extremely frustrated, looking for a more opportune time, was the fact that Jesus knew the word, because he is the word. He is the word. And so I don't want you to think that this passage in 1 Corinthians 4 says that the word isn't important to the kingdom of God. The word is established forever. It is not going away. Political opinions come and go. Governments rise and fall. What is acceptable and permissible among societies of men, all of that may change, but the word of God is still the word of God. It is not changing. What was sin 100 years ago is still sin today. What was holy and acceptable and pleasing in God's sight 100 years ago is still holy and acceptable and pleasing in God's sight today. So I encourage you, if you do not have a Bible reading plan, get into the Word of God, get a reading plan, get a devotional, find yourself in love with the Word of God. 2015 should be a year in which we are passionate about the Word of God. One of the things I love about Beth Moore is she said that she went to a class and she saw a teacher who was just thoroughly, thoroughly excited about the Word of God. And she went out into the parking lot and she asked God to create in her a passion for the Word of God. Listen, God wants you to understand the letter and the spirit of the word, but it is spiritually discerned. Too many people approach it intellectually without approaching it spiritually first. And listen, when I got saved, I didn't check my brain at the door. I've got a mind. I would like to think that I think intelligently. Sometimes that doesn't always work, but, I have a brain on my shoulders, and I like to use it, but I also am so thankful for the Spirit of God. So the Word of God is very important, but some people get so focused on the Word that they miss the next aspect, and that is in verse number 19, or verse number 20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So let me tell you a little bit about the power of God today. The kingdom of God comes with power. Jesus came to destroy the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the power of sin over my life and over your life. I don't care how many generations back the stronghold that you battle with in your life may go, God is more powerful than that. He was more powerful than the darkness because he is the light. He is more powerful than death because he is the life. He is more powerful than Goliath because he is not limited to just a certain height or a certain stature. He is greater than the heavens. When I was growing up, there used to be these there were disaster drills, I believe is what they were called. In case of a nuclear attack, you know, we were supposed to go into the hall and kneel down, and that was supposedly going to keep us safe from all of the radiation in case there was a nuclear attack. And there were some people that would get really freaked out about all of that stuff. And by the way, I want you to know, all that would have done was cause you to be nice, neat, and in line whenever, you know, they found your corpse. But it wouldn't have been able to do anything to protect you from the radioactivity. But one day I read in the Word of God that God's got a timetable. And that timetable didn't involve the demolition of this world at that point in time. And the power of fear was broken in my life. There are some who may be listening to this program right now, and you are living each day with an apprehension or a fear or a worry. And I want you to know that the King that you serve wants you to live in power over that, for God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He can overpower that paralyzing fear and equip you to walk. He is more powerful than sickness and disease. And there are some people who just want to talk about the Word, but they don't want to talk about the demonstration of the power of God. You read in the New Testament, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you will see that everywhere Jesus went, anytime there was a problem that arose, he demonstrated that he was greater than that. He was greater than the storm that was trying to drown the disciples in the midst of the sea. He was greater than the lack of something suitable to drink at the wedding. He was more powerful than deafness. He was more powerful than blindness. He was more powerful than leprosy. He was more powerful than death. He was more powerful than palsy. He was more powerful than poverty. He was more powerful than everything. There's a scripture that says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Now, it would be one thing if all of that power was simply demonstrated when Jesus' life was up on the earth. But that is just simply not the case. It was manifest there, but it was manifest as a revelation of what the kingdom is like. That God is an omnipotent God. He is more powerful than any weapon, anything that may be stretched out against you. He is more powerful than that. In Mark, the 16th chapter, in verse number 15, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Now I want you to understand that in order for these signs to follow, you and I who believe, it has to be because of the power of God's kingdom. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So let's deal with these in a pretty quick manner here if we can. And these signs will follow those who believe. Another translation says they will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. Now, I want you to understand that in Acts, I believe it's the 19th chapter, the seven sons of Sceva heard Paul preaching, and they had seen demons cast out. And so they decided that they were going to go out. They found this demon-possessed man, and they said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches about, we cast you out. And they discovered at that point in time that it wasn't about a rhetorical incantation, but it was about the power of the presence of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that demon said, I just particularly find this passage intriguing. Jesus, I know. The demons believe and tremble. Paul, I know. Because he's just wreaked havoc on the kingdom of darkness ever since he got saved. But then he says this, who are you? Who are you? Do you realize that the devil doesn't even acknowledge an unbeliever's identity? That he doesn't even care enough about you to know your name until you get saved and start walking and making a difference in the kingdom of God. And then all of a sudden, he's like, what is going on over there? How come there's light in there? Have you ever been taking a nap or something and the lights were all shut out and all of a sudden somebody comes in and turns the light on? It's like, oh, what's going on? That's what happens when a person gets saved. That area was dark. There was plenty of good darkness there to make Satan happy. But all of a sudden Jesus comes into your heart and now there's light in that place. And now he's got to start dealing with the light. And I want you to know that the darkness will not be able to overpower that. These signs shall follow. In my name, they will cast out demons. I want you to know you don't have to live in fear. You don't live in stupidity and arrogance. I'm not looking for a demon under every rock. But I tell you what, I have seen the kingdom of darkness at work before, and I can testify to this, that Jesus Christ is greater than that. His power is greater than the devil's power. It says, they will speak with new tongues. They will speak with new tongues. If the James, I believe it says, no man can tame the power of the tongue. But you know who can? Jesus can. There, I am literally left with my jaw wide open sometimes when I hear the word that is going, that words that come out of people's mouth. I'm like, really? Why would you say that sort of stuff? But I want you to know that God, when he redeems your heart, he's going to redeem your tongue. Your tongue will actually manifest for you what is going on in your heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you don't like what is coming out of your mouth, then you need to ask Jesus to come and deal with your heart, because the heart affects the tongue, not the other way around. And so they will speak with new tongues. Now, I'm just going to deal with this briefly. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. That doesn't mean that you're supposed to go around and pick up rattlesnakes. That is just unwise. There are some people that do that. I know that they do that, but it is not a wise thing to be doing. I just want to encourage you. That's not what the scripture means. You read in the book of Acts, and Paul was gathering firewood. He was getting ready to minister, when he threw the wood down on the fire, there was a viper that came out and it latched onto Paul, and the power of God was on display, and that viper went back into the fire. Everybody was expecting Paul to die, and he didn't die. And as a result, Jesus got to be preached and a man was healed supernaturally. That's what it's talking about there, that if you are going around, you don't have to be going around doing stupid stuff. Listen, There's plenty of bad things the devil wants to do to you on his own. You don't have to go looking for it. You need to have your eyes set on doing great things for God. And the last thing is, and they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We believe in power and presence evangelism that lines up with the Word of God. And that is that you and I, when we are praying for people who are infirmed, we are believing for them to be raised up. We are believing for that need in their life to be met. I pray for people, even sometimes they may not even be conscious, and I'm praying for them, and I'm asking God to raise them up. We've seen some remarkable healings, and we're thankful for that. And we have seen other situations where God said, you know, I hear you, but I've got a better healing in mind for them. And that is, I want them in my presence so that they aren't suffering anymore. We believe in power evangelism. Do not buy into the lie that you are just a helpless victim here on this earth. Instead, you are supposed to be an ambassador of authority and power, walking in the same anointing and seeing miracles and signs and wonders take place, just like the early church did. By the way, I'm just going to close out this study with one last verse, and that is in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 32. And it says, "Do not fear, little flock." Aren't you glad to know you don't have to be a mega church for Jesus to take notice of you? "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. No matter where you are at today, I want you to know that it is the desire of God that you experience and live in the things that He has prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. Lay hold of it. Seize it. Allow Jesus to permeate your entire nature. Practice the will of God. Teach the will of God. Allow Him to transform you. Allow Him to make you fruitful and productive. And allow Him to cause you to mature so that you know any sacrifice, any hardship you go through, that it is going to be rewarded. And allow Him to manifest the righteousness, peace, service for Christ, and joy in the Holy Spirit that God wants you to have. It is His good pleasure. If you got a great gift at Christmas time, if you gave a gift and it was your joy to do so, imagine how much greater it is that God experiences when He gives us the kingdom. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Father, I pray this weekend that the kingdom of God would be on display in word and in power in every church in Brevard County, in Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll see you Monday here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming.
Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing.